pick up the pace a little bit.
Oh, yeah, okay.
No pressure.
Okay, so like Greg had introduced, I'm Priji, and what I'm going to be presenting today is a part of my PhD project. It is still a work in progress, and I do my PhD in Singapore. I work with Alston, and he's my advisor. Okay, so I'm going to dive straight in. So the colors that we see around us, and especially in an urban context, it's the interplay between two factors, right? It's the spectral characteristics of the sky, which is the source of light, and it's the spectral reflectance of all the materials that we see around us. It's the buildings, the vegetation, the floor plane, all these surfaces. Okay, but unlike an artificial illuminant, which is very constant, the sky as a source of light is not constant, right? It changes constantly, both with intensity, it also changes its spectral distribution. And it changes with time, it also changes with the weather condition. And in particular, I want to state that in a place like Singapore, which is so close to the equator, just about 1 degree above the equator, what happens is this change. And all these sky conditions that you see is the different sky conditions that I've measured over a period of like 1 year now. And in Singapore, like between the morning sky to the evening sky, you can very much have a clear blue sky, you can have an overcast sky, you will also have a grey thundery sky, and it will turn back into a clear sky, and all this happens within a span of the day. And what that means for people who live in places like this is the buildings that we see around us, it keeps changing, right? It keeps changing in the shades, the tones, the tints. And in some cases, what even happens is during the sunset or the sunrise, it even changes our perceptions of hue. And not only does it change the color perception, it also changes our perception of time, our perception of scale, as well as our emotional and visual, cultural responses of visual quality as well as identity. So it's not just a source of sky, right? It's also the materials. When it changes, it also changes the qualities of light. I was very lucky because the building that I was documenting, it was beige and brown before, and it recently got painted completely into white. And you can really see how that is different, because sometimes the beige and brown stands out, it's more bolder. In other cases, the highlights are much better in like a plaster facade, white color facade, right? But also there are drastic cases where exactly at the same time, at 7 p.m. in the evening, you have the perception of color is entirely different. And that's because of the atmospheric changes in the sky condition. Okay, but the current daylighting simulations, we don't really have, or we don't really use the spectral characteristics of the sky. What we do use is the CIE skies, which are achromatic, and it does not represent the spectral distribution of the sky. But also, in the current case of architectural rendering versus the built reality, you also have a great disparity between the renders and between the actual built reality or the possible built reality. So the colors, the materials that the renders show do not contain this contextual information, right, of where it belongs, of how it is perceived in reality. And it's not that architects don't really care about materials and colors. Architects are so particular about materials and colors. And this is an example of the Salk Institute. It was designed by Louis Kahn in California. And you can see how he was so particular to find the exact color of the cement powder that he wanted the concrete to be in. And Fred Langford was a project architect that was working under Louis Kahn at that point of time. And I'll just read this excerpt where he says, Lou didn't like the first samples he was seeing from California. They were either too green, they were either too blue, or they were not warm enough, and finally he chose the warmest stone, pinkish. So they're very, very particular about the color they want, and they have the vision of what this is, and he chose that color so that it would be a stark contrast against the clear blue skies of California. And even bigger, when architects take the bold step and they actually try to use three or four different bold colors to work in confluence with each other, you need a sort of experienced intuition to do that. And we all know experienced intuition takes time, it takes a lot of error to actually reach them. And they document as well. So this is a project by Ricardo Bofill in Spain, and it's called The Red Wall. And they document, and these are all images that I've pulled out from the site, but his site. So if you see, he has documented the appearance of this color in different weather conditions and different time conditions. So it matters for them. It matters for them how the colors and the materials are perceived. Okay, so in that context of an introduction, what the PhD or what this project tries to ask is that can the predictive renderings for daylight that we use also help represent the physically correct, physically accurate color perceptions in the scene? And the way we go about doing it is twofold. One is we try to measure and analyze changes in color and spectra in complex urban environments that have different materiality, which I will show further on. And second is to be able to validate two spectral simulation platforms that are currently available, but they are currently used for non-visual responses, right? But they output spectral responses. So actually to validate these two spectral simulation platforms with the urban measurements that we take. Okay, so the way we choose the different complex urban scenes is to categorize them based on materiality. And in Singapore, this was quite easy to do because about 25% of the built-up area in Singapore are these HDB flats. They are the Housing Board estates. It's where 80% of Singapore's population live in. And they're pretty much this plaster facade. They change in color, but they are plain plaster facades. 30% of the built-up area in Singapore is vegetation. So the second urban scene that we choose is a vegetated scene. And the last one, pretty much all the office buildings in Singapore, I can unanimously say it is a reflective or a glass facade that they use. So these are the representative three different urban materials. So the way we go about choosing the site, and these are the three sites to represent the three different materiality that I mentioned before. So there's two criteria when I choose the site. That is one, that the material encloses the space as much as possible. That means that the sky factor is as minimum as I can get. So you can see that's why I have a fisheye photograph of the sky factor. So I'm trying to reduce the sky factor as much as possible. The second criteria is that within about 5 to 8 minutes of a walk, that I do have an open site where I can take the horizontal global spectral irradiance measurement of the sky. Okay, so I'm measuring also the color of the sky when I'm taking these measurements. So for this presentation, I'll be only taking one of the cases, which is the plaster facade, and I'll go through the methodology of how we simulated the platforms as well as the validations, but just for one instance. Okay, so each of these sites, I also take measurements in four different directions, so you can see, and in four different sky conditions, a clear sky or an intermediate sky, overcast sky, as well as morning and evening sky. And just to give you an idea of the equipment setup, so I have a Konica Minolta's global illuminance spectrophotometer and a camera, and I take two sets of measurements, right? Both vertical measurements, so I am measuring the vertical spectral distribution, as well as I'm always measuring the horizontal spectral measurement of the sky as well. And also, every time we do an urban scene, we also take the detailed spectral reflectance of all the materials that are there in the scene as well. Okay, so that's about the fieldwork. That's about how I go doing the fieldwork. But just to give you an introduction of the two spectral platforms that are there. So both these spectral simulation platforms, one is LAC and the other is ALPHA. Both were created to, predict the non-visual qualities of light, circadian LUX, melanopic LUX. But what both these softwares do is they do output a spectral rendering of that image. So the idea is to then compare this simulation with the spectral rendering. Right? LARC is based on radiance, and ALPHA is based on a physics-based radiative transfer library that is called LibraTran.
I'm just going to interject one comment here, which is that ALPHA is also based on radiance, but its sky models are based on LibraTran.
Yeah.
We're at 15, 20 minutes.
Okay, so quickly the inputs of LARC. So the inputs of LARC, I do give the measured inputs of the spectral sky simulation, and that's a difficult measure to get, which I think even Jan will talk about. So it's a gen daylit sky definition, so it takes in location as well as the horizontal sky irradiation and the material definition. So this goes into, and LARC runs a 9-channel simulation. It splits the simulation into three, and it splits it into these bins, so each is RGB, and it gives you the three channels which it combines to give you the visual render. So ALPHA is much more easier because it has a pre-computed sky that's based on the LibraTran model. So you give it the location, you can also choose the sky conditions, and you input the spectral reflectance as well as the geometry, and it pretty much gives you the output. Okay, so just to highlight once more that the main difference between lark and alpha is for lark, I use the measured data of what I measured on site, whereas in alpha, it's pre-computed sky models. You don't have to give the measurements. And the second difference is that in lark, the sun is an equal energy white source, whereas in alpha, it's a colored source. Okay, so I have three sort of comparisons which I will go through quickly as well. One is sort of the visual comparisons of these simulation platforms, the second is the spectral, and the third is the color difference. So in the case of visual comparison, so what you can see is these are the HDR photographs in different directions that I take on a clear sky. And these three simulation platforms, PERIS is a non-spectral, like how we do a normal daylight rendering. And LARC and ALPHA are the spectral-based simulation platforms. Both PERIS and LARC, they have the gen daylight luminances that is coming from. Okay, so on a clear sky, what you can immediately get from this is if you see the PERIS simulation versus both the ALPHA and LARC, is that the PERIS is usually a beige or a yellowish, and that's because it's missing the sky color, it's missing this blue component of the sky. And if you see in this specific case, this is the facade that actually faces the sky opposite the sun. So it's the bluest part of the sky. And it has this blue reflection, which of course PERIS does not predict it at all. But you can see that between alpha and, this is LARC and alpha, alpha has a bit more of a blue component. And this is the case of a morning sky. Similarly, you have the non-spectral simulations and you have the spectral simulations. So what you can see is, of course, it's a morning sky, so the blue component of the sky is really high, and all the facades have this bluish tint to it. And PERIS is like a really stark contrast when you do a morning simulation in PERIS. But again, I guess in between LARC and ALPHA, ALPHA has a more bluer sky. And just to give you one more example is the evening sky. And this is interesting because if you look at the sky, there are two different shades, right? There is the blue part, but there is also the orange highlights that you can see. So you can see the orange tint, which is of the sun itself when it is low in the horizon. And of course, PERIS, you can see the light difference, but you can't really see the color. And the only time you see it is in alpha. And this is because LARC has a white source. So LARC, the sun is not colored. And so you don't see this difference at all in LARC, but you do see it in alpha because the sun is colored. So what I do at the end is I have a spectral comparison between alpha, LARC, as well as the sensors throughout different sky conditions and different directions. So let me just take you to one of the examples, which is, this is for the one particular direction, and it's for different skies, the clear, the morning, the evening, and the overcast skies. So what I'm plotting is the normalized spectral irradiances. And these rectangles that you see are the bins based on which LARC divides, the bins in which the LARC runs the simulation as RGB, right? So for the spectrophotometer measurements, I have the measurements for every 1 nanometer. For alpha, I have it only for 5 nanometers. And for LARC, I have 1 per each of these channels. So 9 simulation, and we linearly interpolate it. So what you can see is that for this is the facade in which the sensor is closest to the, this is the direction in which the sensor is closest to the facade. So it doesn't see the sky, it's the least sky that it sees. So in this case, LARC performs much better, in fact, than alpha does. And another observation that you can see is in the morning and the evening sky, if you see the yellow line, which is alpha, it peaks up in the red region. And that's because of the color of the sun that alpha has. And in all these things, you can see the blue line, which is LARC, it dips in the red because LARC does not have the red component. So it basically takes the global spectral irradiance and diffuses it throughout the whole sky. I can skip this because it's again analysis of this errors. But the other comparison that I do, and this is the last slide, is a color difference comparison. So what I do is, this is only one sample, it's for a clear sky, and it's for one direction, and it's looking at all these three simulation platforms. So it's basically to see the color difference that occurs because of the different sources of light. So here I have the direct light, and what the color in the shaded zone. But the idea is to also do it for the blue sky, the diffused light, as well as the morning and the evening sky tones. But anyways, what you can see, and surprisingly here in the shaded region, PERIS works the best. But I mean, I have a few reasonings why that may be the case, and that's an open question as well to maybe the experts who know a bit more. One is because the luminances Maybe that Perez predicts the luminance is better than alpha and luck. I'm not sure. It also could be that because of the trees, I feel like alpha has more of the green component on the shadows. But again, it's just from this... or luck has a more green. It's just from this measurements that I'm kind of guessing it probably is. But in the direct sunlight or the direct light, if you can see, it's luck that is closest to the actual HDR measurements. But anyway, it's like a work in progress, and I have more to come. But that's it for today. Thank you.
Why is the sky blue?
In where?